Hi, everyone. Welcome to Beyond the Exchanges. In this episode, we want to set the foundation for our podcast and introduce ourselves and really what we're trying to communicate through this podcast. So, Chloe, do you want to start by introducing yourself?
Yeah, sure. Hi, my name is Chloe. I'm a 17-year-old rising senior currently based in Connecticut, but I'm originally from South Korea. I'm an only child. I have a dog. His name is Harvard. My family and I get along pretty well, I guess. We're more so, I guess, a big friend group than a family, I would say. As for hobbies, I like to go to the gym. I like to draw. I like to paint. I specialize in comic making, which I think is kind of cool in my opinion. And I am really excited about this podcast because I like to talk.
What? That was going to be my line. Dang. Okay. Anyways.
Well, I did it first, so.
Wow. All right. So my name is Kinley. I'm 16. I'm from New York. I am a middle child. I have an older sister and a younger brother. And I have a mini golden doodle named Chloe, a bearded dragon named Keanu. Fun fact, everyone in my family, except for my dad, has all K names. So we're basically like the Black Kardashians. And for hobbies, I love reading and creative writing, especially poetry. I'm a huge sociology and politics nerd, but I'm also a pretty avid athlete. I fence and run track and cross country, and Chloe and I are both pretty big gym rats. And I'm a huge Netflix reality TV show fan. Like, I could watch that for hours. You name a reality TV show, I know it, I've analyzed it, like, we need to watch it together. So, as for why a podcast, I think that Chloe and I have some really good conversations. It might just be one of those things where you're like singing in the shower and you're like, oh my God, like I'm Mariah Carey. And that just might be us. Like we have great conversations. We're like, oh my God, I'm Aristotle. But I think that they're good. So yeah.
Especially because our conversations like exclusively take place at like 1 a.m. And then we're like, wow, like we're so smart. Like we're so ahead of everyone. Anyway, we're like getting off topic.
As per usual. Okay, so this podcast is titled Beyond the Exchanges, and I feel like we should dive in and just talk a little bit more about why we titled it Beyond the Exchanges. So, Chloe, what does the title mean to you?
I think Beyond the Exchanges is an amazing title because I think, especially in our generation, because we're learning everything for the first time, we're not our generation, but our age range, I think conversations about who we are or just about like philosophical inquiries in general are more than just conversations, you know, like you get to understand more about yourself and other people. And it's, to me, it feels a lot more important than when I was younger or when I'll be older, even though I don't know what that's like yet. But it feels really important to me right now because I'm at the age where I'm kind of really perceiving the world for the first time in like an analytical, like intellectual lens. So I think when I have conversations with other people, it's not only about that conversation in itself, but also about a reflection of who I am and what I want to learn and about, you know, like how I'm going to be able to perceive the world in the future. If that makes sense. Like, I don't want to be like too like in the clouds with my description right now. But to me, I guess Beyond the Exchanges shows that a conversation is more than just a conversation. And I kind of wanted to like reflect all of like the in-betweens of like the connection between myself and the other person when I'm talking. But yeah, I mean, I don't want to be getting too like aloof.
I don't know, I feel like philosophical is part of what it is. Like every conversation, whether it's something shallow or it's like revolutionary, has some type of philosophical or deeper meaning to it. Like even hellos and goodbyes, whether it's through your body language or your tone, hold some other ulterior meaning. So I think the philosophicalness is welcomed.
Yeah, and like recently I've just kind of realized that, you know, with a lot of arguments, especially like, well, not especially, but like, you know, political arguments or like religious discussions, I should say, it really just kind of boils down to like personal belief and personal opinion, like, you know, whether or not you're religious or you're spiritual. And I feel like I really want to understand like that part of humanity, like of who we are, you know? Like, because sometimes religion isn't even rational. Like, I identify as agnostic, like as someone somewhat religious, and even I can admit that it's not like a fully like rational thing. Like sometimes I just want to believe in something because I want to. And I know I can't speak for everyone when it comes to religion or like their own personal ties to like spiritual belief, but just like things like acknowledging that and learning of other people's perspectives, I feel like is really important. And that's something that I want to uncover in this podcast.
Yeah, those are some really good points. So with that, beyond the exchanges to me means really seeking to have interactions beyond what we go through on the day to day. Just generally in society, we have so many surface level interactions, whether that's through social media or in person. I feel like there's really a block when it comes to delving deep and expressing yourself with strangers or even with friends. Sometimes when you want to be vulnerable and you want to share parts of yourselves that have a lot of depth to them, it's hard to know who to talk to, how to talk to them, how to initiate those conversations. And it's especially difficult today when we have cultures like trauma dumping or love bombing. Like that just creates this whole, it just makes things a lot more complex to be able to like speak your mind, share your truth, or talk about subjects that have a lot of substance to them. So another aspect of this podcast is really just being that introduction, letting you all know that there are people out there who want to have those conversations with you, who want to hear your stories, your deepest thoughts, who are willing to accept and really encourage your expression of vulnerability.
That was really well said.
Thank you.
I see you, Kimmy.
Oh my God, I see you too. Okay.
Oh.
So, yeah, throughout this podcast, there's going to be a lot of topics that we want to delve into. But for today, let's focus more generally. And I think, like, the biggest thing right now that we could start with is because this is a type of media. And a lot of type of medias that I see, whether it's like YouTube or people on TikTok, they'll say like, oh, the root of all the problems is the media, but then they're also posting media for other people to consume. So I think that it's going to be natural in this podcast space for us to outline the issues in media. So before we do that, so it's not like we're kind of hypocrites or contradictory coming after media when we're producing media at the same time, I feel like we should talk about the media. I feel like I said media so many times, but we should talk about it and kind of acknowledge its pros and cons in promoting conversations with depth.
Yeah, I mean, I do think that's a really good point. I honestly didn't even think about that, like being hypocrites. But for me, I think my relationship with media, it's very common. I was severely addicted to TikTok for a long time. I'd actually spend 8 hours a day on TikTok, and I don't even know where I found the time because genuinely, like, I don't know where I get the hours because I have school, I sleep like 9 hours a day, and I go to the gym, I work out all that, and I still have like 13 hours of screen time. Like, I don't know where I got this from. But I mean, recently I completely like obliterated my phone. Like, I couldn't even recover anything, no iCloud. Well, the last like
Wait,
month of iCloud. Yes, it was fully gone. I had to buy a new one, like straight out of the box at
just
Apple.
because you spilled water on it? Everything,
What?
like, just because of the water spill?
Well, I don't know. Like, it was water damage for sure. I thought it was just a screen, but I guess not. And then like nothing was recovered. Like, I needed to get like, a new phone, all of that. I mean, that's like unrelated. So, but I mean, I redownloaded Instagram because like I text a lot of people there, and I have an art account that I wanted to like continue posting on. It wasn't just for social media, but I didn't redownload TikTok because I was just like, oh, let's like see if I can, I can do it. And it's been a lot less, I guess, in my face than I realized. Like, I thought I'd be missing it all the time because instinctually I'd be opening my phone just to go to TikTok. And everyone would tell me, like, Chloe, you should delete TikTok. Like, I've been so much happier. It's like, for me, like, at least when I was, I guess, addicted to it, it was more so just like a hobby to me, but a hobby that had no productivity. So it's not like I posted anything of substantial value on TikTok. I just like scrolled like mindlessly. And yeah, I mean, sometimes I did get useful things out of it, like art inspiration or poetry that I'd shared with friends, like a way to connect. But I think you don't need TikTok for that. Like, I think social media makes those kinds of things more accessible because you can share, you can get yourself out there. Like, you can, there's so much exposure that you can get through social media. But as someone who isn't even that interested in that side of social media, like, I just kind of use it for myself, like, just, you know, just for fun. What about you, Kinley?
Yeah, I'm like a big productivity person because I'm very busy. So media, like, I enjoy watching it. I mean, as I said, like, I love reality TV shows. Like, any of the slim free time that I have goes to really that if I'm going to watch something. But other than that, any time that I'm on media, either it's Instagram Reels, because I deleted TikTok. I'm officially, like, I don't even know, maybe like 8 months clean, which is like good because I have my addiction phase. And then I got addicted to Instagram Reels, so it didn't really do much, like, dropping it. But a win's a win, so I'm gonna take it. But other than that, I watch like YouTube videos, but the YouTube videos that I watch are really just video essays, which again are like on sociological topics. So I feel pretty good about that. But in terms of like the general use of media and its effect on connection, I think that it contributes to like this culture of shallow and false connections that we have. The whole concept of like social media friends, which I'm 100% guilty of. Like, I on Instagram, like, I follow people and I have followers that I've talked to probably like once or twice in my life, and maybe we'll slide up on each other's stuff and we'll immediately just go into talking like we're best friends, even though we really know anything about each other. So I feel like it just gives a false sense of comfort, which then goes into like your in-person relationships, where you'll be making friends and you feel like, oh, I have all these friends, like, I can talk about these things with them. But then when you actually sit down and think about it, it's like, we talk, but where is the depth? Where is the substance? And it's not that every single friendship that you have has to be some revolutionary type of friendship where you can talk about your deepest, darkest truths. It's just that sometimes the shallowness of social media friendships that are okay in that space can translate into the real life space and just leave you feeling like you have no substance in your connections.
Well said, well said.
Thank you, thank you.
I almost feel like there are some things that you say, because there's no way you're just kind of like saying that. Are you reading off notes?
No, I was checking my voice memos. Wait, do you actually think I sound like fancy?
Yeah, like low-key. Oh, like, you sound bad.
See, like, that's no, like, you sound good too. We're gonna have to do a lot of editing because we both ramble like a ton.
Also, like, when you're talking about social media relationships, it kind of does like make me reflect on the nature of relationships in my age group in general. Like, I'm trying to avoid saying my generation because I feel like it's not just my generation that's going through this, even though it kind of does feel like it. But I want to kind of talk about the more modern take on relationships, or the more modern concepts like situationships, or, you know, like, by extension of that, like, love bombings. I mean, I think I'm like really trying hard not to say with our generation, because I really don't want to generalize. I think it's showing that I'm like chronically online by saying like, oh, like, Gen Zers, like all that. But I don't know. There's probably a reason why things like hookup culture and situationships and fear of intimacy is so, like, in my opinion, really clear. I think maybe it is because of social media, because it's really normal for people to go with their problems online, because then you can find more people that relate to you. Because in real life, it's not like you go around preaching all your problems to everybody, because that's weird. But if you happen
to... Wait, pause right there. This is why we have this podcast. This is the whole point of why we have Beyond the Exchanges. Thank you, Chloe. That's like when you watch one of those ads and that person says something like perfectly, it said, I don't know where I was going with that. Anyways, that was
Keep that in.
Like, I don't know. So many thoughts just came to my brain. I don't know what I was saying. But anyways, that's the perfect tagline to our thing, because it's weird to like delve into those parts of yourself. So it's weird to have those conversations. But like, why is it weird? Especially in friendship spaces. Like, I've heard some people start conversations where they're literally just talking about a part of themselves, whether it's like their family or their like goals, or I don't know, something's not going well. And it's like, oh, you're trauma dumping. I don't want to hear that. But like, there is an actual thing. So, like, trauma dumping is an actual thing, but the way that it's used is when people are just kind of being vulnerable or sharing their emotions, it's like considered trauma dumping, or they don't want to share it. So then that creates this whole culture where it's weird to share those parts of you. So then you go online and you search for that audience, but you're still not getting that kind of like human face-to-face connection. So it's still not.
So like, just the internet in general, like, gives a space for anyone to share their experience. Well, obviously there are also like the exceptions for like with like censorship and like, you know, you can't talk about certain political things on TikTok. Or that's just like the first example that comes to mind. But also with being online, the advantage that you have in terms of like allowing to be vulnerable is that you can hide behind the screen. Like, you can be anonymous. So you can share all these things that you cry about, that hurt your feelings, that make you, that might make you seem weak to your friends or to people that you know personally, but are just things that almost everyone also goes through. And it just, it provides a kind of like, I don't want to say superficial, but like a superficial yet deep connection with people at the same time. Because it's not like if I post something about how depressed I am, for example, and someone likes it, like a connection is formed because it's like an acknowledgement that we both have a shared experience. Yet I know nothing about this person. I know nothing about who they are, about their family, their friends, their hobbies. And they know nothing about me except for what I choose to put out online. So
I mean, that interaction is just an exchange.
Yeah.
That's all that
yep.
is.
Yeah, you're right. I wish you guys can see the expression that Kinley has on her face right now.
I was so proud of myself for that. Like,
you never look more. I mean, our audience can't even see what we're doing right now, so they're just hearing.
I know. This is why we need to start our video one, just for the introduction. Like,
yeah, you guys will see our faces soon enough.
At some point. Oh, imagine if we do like a dream face reveal and then everyone's like, hell no, you guys need to say
that. I don't think I could handle that.
Yeah.
I think I would actually die.
Me too.
I would evaporate.
Okay.
Why are we always straying off topic? What were we even talking about? Oh, yeah. Okay, wait. No, I have my two cents of situationships. Because, most relationships in general, my relationships have been complicated. And there have been dynamics where, like, I've been in a situationship, then, like, a relationship, and then back to a situationship with the same person. And I think I've had kind of, like, a spectrum of different relationships and different relationship dynamics, too. I mean, partially because I have also grown as a person over time and, like, in terms of maturity and experiences as well. But I think with situationships, it really just kind of boils down to, I think, fears. And what that fear kind of centers around varies from person to person. There's like fear of intimacy. There's like the fear of, you know, like vulnerability. I guess it's the same thing. Or like fear of like public acceptance or fear of like family acceptance, like things like that. And I think personal insecurity also ties a lot into those fears because sometimes fears aren't fully rational. They're just kind of assumptions you make about a situation that hasn't happened yet. But there's so much that kind of goes into a relationship and a relationship dynamic and what exactly it means to commit to a person, because being in a relationship is more than just being in a relationship. It's beyond the exchange of just two people wanting to date. It's also like a reflection of who you are and how you want to be loved, like how you want to love and how you were raised, you know, like if you were raised in an emotionally available household, for example. Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, I was just going to say, like, I completely agree.
Yeah, and, like, what you need as an individual, too. Because everyone wants to be loved and supported, right? Like, that's just kind of, like, a universal human need. But how that exactly manifests and how you think it manifests, or, like, how you want it to happen, like, how you want to be loved, like, who you want to be loved by, it really all kind of depends, and it tells a lot about who you are and what you need and what you're lacking in life. And I think situationships are just kind of all of those issues kind of culminated and, like, shown through one lens. Because situationships wouldn't happen if people just committed, right? That's basically the point. Like, they commit to, no, I don't want to date you. I don't want to be in a relationship with you. I recognize that the feelings are unmatched, so this is a bad idea. Or, I like you, you like me, we should date. You know, like, if commitment happened, then situationships would happen. Because situationships are just, like, the middle ground in between. And I, in my opinion, I don't think people like them that much. I don't think anyone ever really likes being in a situationship. I mean, I think if you do, then that's slightly weird in my opinion, but I don't know.
I think a big part of situationships is also communication. Like, feelings change, feelings flow.
Yeah. But also, like, well, speaking from my experience, just to lay that out there, sometimes even if someone's honest with you, with the other person, it's just not what you want to hear, you know? Like, I think a lot of delusion, it's kind of a controversial take, but a lot of delusion is involved in situationships. Like, I mean, I was a delusional one in one of my situationships, so I think I'm allowed to speak on it. But with my first ex, I should say, because I mean, we technically dated, but it was mostly situationship. He was like always fully transparent with what he wanted. He was like, I don't want a relationship with you. I'm not ready for a relationship with anyone. Like, I do not want this, but I just want to have fun. Like, I like you as a person. I think you're fun, but I don't want to date you. But to me, I was like, I think I interpreted that as I don't want to date you yet. Like, there is something missing, but I thought that I can make up for it, which is why I dragged on for so long. Because if I actually sat there and took his word for it and took his word with what it was, then I'm like, this guy doesn't want a relationship with me. Why would I want to chase something with someone who tells me who doesn't like they don't want it, you know? Like, why would I chase him that's impossible, quote unquote? But I guess to me, I didn't think that it was impossible. So I think even with effort to communicate on both ends, sometimes just like what you want doesn't align, but the idea of what you want, you know, kind of intersects a little bit.
I completely agree with that. And though in the situation that you're talking about, just like from my perspective of watching things, I will say, to be fair, yeah, there was an aspect of delusion, but going back to communication, once your ex communicated like the final dagger, like, hey, I will not be at this point ever. What you're I'm hearing you say not yet, but I'm telling you not ever. Once you heard that clear communication, you were done. There was no delusion. Like, it was clear as day, and you moved on. You said, like, hey, this is what I'm looking for. I know my worth, and I'm moving on. So I think,
Yeah, it took me like 3 years.
3 years, but like, you got there. And I think, yeah, there was delusion. Like, there was that, but there was a lot of ambiguity because your ex didn't fully communicate what was going on from his perspective, you know?
Yeah.
So.
And like, also, there's a lot of selfish intent that goes into every relationship because obviously. Like, if you weren't getting any benefit out of a situation, then why would you be in it? You know, like there has to be something that you're getting out of it. And with situationships, I feel like it's mostly revolving around the self than for the other person. Because in relationships, you know, you like assume that, you know, like ideally the couple would be in love, and like with love comes selflessness and like putting the others first. But with situationships, because the label isn't there, you don't need to commit to that. Like, you don't need to be selfless for the other person.
And someone told me on that note, there's always winners and losers in situationships, or there's always one person who kind of holds more control over the course of things.
Yeah, I think that has to do with the security part, like self-security. And Kaylee and I were actually talking about this like right before we filmed this podcast. But I mean, you know, not to speak for all women, but I saw this on Instagram Reels, not to connect it back to the media addiction, but you know, you can tell how much a woman loves herself by the partner she chooses. And I think someone who is insecure chases after the idea of security rather than actual security.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, that's a powerful observation.
I don't know, like, at least from what I see and what I acknowledge and, you know, what I immerse myself in, like, in my past, and I guess to people that I relate to on the internet, I think someone who is secure has their own sense of, like, fulfillment, like, has their own positive relationship with love and, you know, like, romantic relationships and concepts in general. Like, they choose someone and they choose to be single because, you know, they don't need validation or commitment from someone who is emotionally unavailable to make themselves feel loved. But situationships, I feel like, almost take advantage of people who aren't secure or have like a low self-esteem, or they're like love tank isn't full because it kind of gives them the illusion that if you work hard enough for something, then you can achieve it. But sometimes you just can't, you know?
Yeah. So. I feel like this got really, this is like a whole situationship relationship episode. But kind of just like to wrap things up, to sum things up, we want this channel, even though you're not in the conversation with us, because yeah, that's just how podcasts work. But we want you to feel like you're a key. I don't know why I specified like that. Like, obviously, if you're not here. Okay, anyways, we want you to feel like you're in the room with us. We want you to feel like this is a conversation. This is a space. While you can't actively express yourself, your thoughts, you can't actively be vulnerable with us right now. We want you to feel like if you were here, you could. And we want this podcast to be a space where you can feel free to exist comfortably in your vulnerability.
I like that. Write that down. Oh, wait.
Wait, we made it so far. That's good. This is like a whole 37 minutes. That is freaking like transformative.
Well, I didn't even say it, but yeah, my bad. I was trying to All in all, we just want this podcast to be a podcast and to relate people.
Yep. We hope you enjoyed our first episode, and we hope that you stay tuned for our future episodes, because we were looking forward to just having some good conversations, going beyond the exchanges, and creating
a podcast experience.
Yep. All right. Bye, guys.
Bye.